Hi, I'm Terry Griffith. I'm here with my co-host Dee Boggetti, and we're Bark Radio.
Hey folks, you know what? At least in our part of the world, it's getting a little chilly outside.
It is. It's like serious fall out there today.
Yeah, man, which means winter is right around the corner, and as we change seasons, Terry and I like to give you some tips about that are weather-related for your dogs. We want them to stay safe. So, let's start with those of you who live in those northern climates and get that sleet and that snow and that ice. We get it occasionally.
Occasionally.
But not as often as some folks. One of the things to remember is that the salt that's put out to melt snow and ice on sidewalks and on streets, that can be poisonous to your dog. So what you want to do, if you've had your dog out walking in the neighborhood, you know there's been the snow melting material, you know, out there on the pavement. When you bring them back in the house, you want to make sure they don't have an opportunity to lick their paws. What you want to do is clean their bellies, clean their paws off really thoroughly. 'Cause the other thing is that snow and ice can get encrusted in that hair between their pads. So you just want to make sure that you take good care of those paws. They need them. And that icy stuff, that ice melting stuff can be really nasty. I have the dog friendly version at my house that doesn't hurt anything that I can use on my decks and stuff. But just be aware of that, you guys. This one just cracks me up. Don't shave your dog in the winter. I wouldn't shave my dog any time, but a lot of people do that.
I can understand the long-haired dogs in the summer, but
yeah, but don't do it in the winter. They need that coat for warmth, guys. That's kind of a no-brainer.
You would think.
We won't go there. Please just don't shave them in the winter. One of the things they recommend is, you know, if you bathe your dog in your house, make sure you get him nice and dry before you take him outside. Although I've never known a dog to catch cold, but, you know, I suppose it's valid.
In theory.
Mm-hmm. And if you have a dog, I'm thinking who has a very, very extremely short coat, and if that dog does tend to shiver and be cold outside, then yeah, have grandma make him a sweater. You know, it's okay. I'm not putting any on my labs, but because they'd be terribly embarrassed in the neighborhood. But if your dog's shivering and shaking, yeah, get him a sweater, get him a coat.
Well, I got a story around that. Right. So our other cattle dog, Aussie, when we lived in Michigan, and she was short hair, and we get a lot of snow there.
Mm-hmm.
So we bought her a sweater.
Mm-hmm.
And she was out in the backyard, and we brought her back in, and the sweater was off, and we couldn't find it. We found it in the spring. It was buried under our jet ski trailer.
I guess that was her feeling about the sweater.
She had a comment. We took it to heart.
I'm an Australian Shepherd. I am a working dog. Do not dress me.
Yeah, don't really. Well, it's cold. And we lived on a lake, so there's always a wind.
Oh, man.
But she didn't like that.
Want any part of it.
No.
So, no sweaters for the kids now. No.
No. No. Not Virginia, anyway.
Yeah. Well, and the other thing is to remember that as dogs age, seriously.
Yeah, that's
you know,
a good point.
It's the joint thing, and just like humans, you know, the achy bones in cold weather. So, you know, just maybe keep them outside less, just short potty breaks or something like that, especially if you've got a senior citizen dog. And what I found with my Cody last year, she's 8 now, and she had never slept on a doggy bed in her life. And last year I brought in the bed that was for my dog who passed away a while back, the orthopedic bed, and just put it down in front of the fireplace to see if she would sleep on it, and she loved it. So kind of remember that as your dog's age. Maybe they need things they didn't need when they were younger. Make them comfortable. Offer them a comfortable, warm, soft, cushy bed. Or you can be like Murphy at my house, who's like the third cushion down on the sofa is his. But that's neither here nor there. All right. Now, probably 6 months ago, we told you about, you know, don't be stupid and leave your dogs in a hot car in the summer because it can kill them. Well, it can actually happen in the winter, too. You know, especially, again, if you have a small breed dog,
yeah,
you know, without a sweater, and it's below zero and you leave the dog in the car for any period of time, they can die. So it's like putting them in a refrigerator.
Yeah.
So, you know, just be aware of it. Be careful.
So use common sense.
Oh, that would be really good in all cases.
often lacking, always good.
Absolutely. That's why we're going through the list. Like, guys, come on, work with us here. All right. Also remember, if you have a puppy, and this happens a lot of times around Christmas, you know, people get Christmas puppies, and we'll have a conversation about that in a bit. Yes. Yeah. But they don't tolerate cold as well as adult dogs. So get them in, get them out, get them in. Do it quickly. You might have a problem, again, I think maybe more with small breed dogs, potty training them in the dead of winter if you live in a big snowy area.
Right.
And so you might need to do it with pee pads in the house initially until the weather thaws out a bit. So be patient with your pups. Understand that, you know, they don't know what that white stuff is out there. They don't know what ice is. They don't know what any of that is. And most will adapt just fine to it as long as you clean an area for them. But, yeah, like, don't send, you know, like a 5-pound puppy out into 6-foot snow and expect much. Yeah. Please shovel a path for them, yeah, you know. Get down to something that looks like grass. Okay. Remember that if your dogs are very active dogs, you may have to increase their food a little bit in the wintertime, especially protein, because they're going to burn energy a lot faster staying warm. And we'll see if that happens with the little girl who's staring up at me right now from the floor going, who, me? What? More food? Ooh, ooh. Has that been the case with your Australian Shepherds? I mean, do you...
Cattle dog.
Whatever you are. Like cattle dogs. Has it been your experience that they burn more calories in the wintertime? No.
I've never seen that. Well, other than Sparky, a really overweight cattle dog.
Oh.
And he's only kind of overweight.
But yeah, he's not very.
No, he's just a little bit. But Aussie, not at all. And Surrey, she looks good. She actually might be putting on a little bit now, but maybe just...
Well, and again, if she were running sheep every day,
yeah,
it would be different. She would probably need more food in the wintertime.
Absolutely.
So, you know, it just depends on what your dog's life is like. If your dog is kind of a couch potato, then you're not changing anything. It may be, like, cut down on the food a little bit in the wintertime. But try still to get those dogs out there and exercise them in the winter. It's as important as in the summer. They need to be with you. They need to be doing fun things. They don't need to be cooped up all the time.
And snow can be fun for the dogs. These guys love it.
Oh, man. Don't you love it when they put their noses down in it and come up and they got a white nose or they tunnel through it? You know, it's like, woohoo! And they come up to the other end and all you can see is like wiggly snow.
Yeah. It was great that the only big snow we've had since I've been in Virginia, but just last year, they had a blast. We got great pictures of them playing in it.
My two did too, my two labs. Oh, my gosh. They were just whipping around the backyard, chasing each other, and it's like, you know, you throw snowballs for them and they catch them in their mouths. It's just a wonderful, wonderful playtime. Okay, big, big poisonous issue. Just remember, guys, antifreeze will kill your dog.
Yeah.
And it tastes sweet to them. They don't know it's lethal. So just make sure that you clean up spills. You know, just never, ever leave a puddle of antifreeze around anywhere. Bad, bad, bad. And we mentioned this, I believe, in another episode. Consider using products that contain propylene glycol instead of ethylene glycol. I guess less lethal. And don't forget that the ASPCA has a great poison control center. And we'll put that number up again on Bark Radio's site. And, you know, finally, just keep them safe, keep them warm, keep them exercised, and get through the winter months with happy dogs, you know, and just always consider in everything you do the age of your dog. Puppies need different things than senior citizen dogs.
And look for alternative places to work them.
Absolutely.
So if you have some of the sporting goods places allow pets, so Bass Pro Shop is dog friendly. I think Gander Mountain is dog friendly.
Probably Cabela's.
Cabela's is probably. So those types of chains tend to allow you to work your dog. And working is good for them mentally. So
oh, it's
you get
great
them in there,
them.
Up the stairs, down the stairs, around the obstacles.
Mm-hmm. And, you know, you've got the pet stores that allow the dogs. If you're fortunate like we are, we have a dog-friendly mall.
Right.
And there are many of the stores in that mall that we can take our dogs into. And this is when you work on obedience skills because they have to be well-behaved, or they should be well-behaved.
Should be.
So, you know, get them out there to those situations. Also, you know, if there are public events in the winter that aren't too long, but that that are outdoors and dogs are allowed to go to, take them.
Sure.
You know, they love being with you. They love doing new things. And if your dogs have issues, you know, I'm just going to put a plug in there for behaviors for trainers. You know, if your dog has fear issues or is reactive to other animals and you can't take them out comfortably in public, you know, spend the winter taking a class or getting a behaviorist into your home to help you work through those issues. So when the weather does get good, you can be out there with your dog.
Yeah. Most cities have some sort of classes available.
Absolutely.
Low-cost ones are available as well in some places.
Yeah, and a lot of times it's like through an SPCA.
Right.
You know, so check it out, folks. Bottom line again, have fun with your dogs and keep them safe.
All right. Anything else?
That's good on that subject. Now, when I was looking into cold weather tips, I ran across a really interesting thing online, and that's about the things that were in the top 10 of the list for poisonous things. I can't talk.
Poisonous products?
Yeah, you're going to put that, leave that in. I know you are. Top 10 pet poisons for 2008. Jeez Louise. Okay, this one is amazing to me. Human medications. Again, that Poison Control Center at the ASPCA took 50,000 calls in 12 months of dogs ingesting human meds. And it can be over-the-counter stuff. It could be prescription stuff. People, I'm telling you, teach your dogs, leave it. And if you don't know what that means, you need a trainer because it can save your dog's life.
Yeah.
Literally, how many times have we all dropped meds on the floor? Even if it's aspirin or, you know, God forbid it's something, you know, stronger or worse than that. So just, again, it's all about thinking ahead, keeping your dog safe, training your dogs so they'll listen to you when something bad happens. I remember when I dropped something on my kitchen floor that I didn't want my dogs to have. Because I'm a trainer, this stuff comes out of my mouth automatically. The two of them were laying down waiting to see if they were going to get anything because I was in the kitchen cooking. It hit the floor, and before it hit the floor, the words, leave it, were out of my mouth. They didn't move muscle. I picked it up, and then I rewarded my dogs for being such good poochies. But that's the key, you know? Next one is...
Oh, insecticides.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, that's an obvious one, guys. 31,000 calls in a year on that one. Woo-woo.
That doesn't surprise me, though. Mm-hmm. I mean, people treat their lawns and plants, and, I mean, that's not good for the pets or us or the environment. They get carried away with that crap.
And, oh, this is really interesting. One of the most common incidents involved is the misuse of flea and tick products.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
like applying the wrong kind to the wrong species.
So using dog on the cat.
Okay, so look on the package. If it shows a cat, put it on the cat, not on the dog. Oh, merciful heavens. Oh. Alrighty then. Dog, cat, cat. Got it, folks?
It seems pretty straightforward. And you got to think about sizes. So if you have a 15-pound dog, don't put the amount for a 50-pound dog.
Exactly. That's over-medicating.
Yeah.
And plus, we've hit this before, too, on another episode, that these things that you buy in the stores, not that you don't get from your vet, have more of a tendency to be toxic than the veterinary version. So just be really careful what you're putting on your dog's skin.
We use... we'd switched to that natural oil stuff.
And so how's it working?
Seems to be working pretty good. We haven't had any flea issues, and I know that there's a lot of folks having problems. So.
Really? Cool beans. Well, we'll kind of like follow this over a year and see how the dogs do with it. So
they hate it, but it is kind of strong when you first put it on. It's a minty smell type thing, because it is natural oils. But you have to be careful with natural oils on cats. They're more sensitive to certain oils, and I don't know
which ones.
Yeah, I don't know which ones, because I don't have cat. I'm really allergic to them.
So. Just like you are to the dogs. But
yeah, but okay.
Special dispensation. They're dogs, you know? We're dog geeks. All right. Next on the list is people food. And this is where we get all the reports of, you know, don't give your dogs grapes or raisins, avocado, you know, chocolate. Do not give them chocolate. Dogs die every year. Dogs get really sick every year.
Fruit seeds are also very poisonous.
Oh, that's right.
Apple seeds, peach pits, and the dogs eat them. That are poison.
They'll eat anything.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I just found out acorns the other day can be toxic.
Really? Sparky was pigging out on them the other day.
He looks fine.
Yeah, didn't seem to hurt him. We were sitting, that was at that wave event we talked about. Mm-hmm.
Really?
Yeah, the Working Aussies of Virginia. He was sitting under this acorn tree, or this oak tree, and he's eating acorns. I'm like, what are you doing?
Yeah, apparently there is a toxin in acorns and in oak leaves.
I didn't know that.
So just be aware of it. I think probably most dogs are fine as long as they don't ingest huge quantities. Yeah. And we all just are grateful if we don't have oak trees in our backyard.
I like oak trees.
I do too. But at any rate, there's so many ways dogs can get sick. Yeah, it just makes me crazy. And then there's the rat and mouse poison. We all know that drill. You know, if your dog ingests something that's a poison, call the Poison Control Center. Just do it.
And if you're not sure, call the Poison Control Center.
Absolutely. It's worth the $60.
Yeah.
We did it here on Bark Radio
and
one
day. We got an ant poison issue.
Yes. Thank you, Surrey. Yeah. Okay. And finally, veterinary medicines. You know, it's just like we can OD on human meds. 8,000 cases... stuff like heartworm preventatives, dewormers, antibiotics, vaccines, nutritional supplements. I mean anything.
Wow.
If quantity, just beware. Okay, and I'm wrong. That's not the last one. So we're going to keep trucking. I think we were not even close to 10 yet. Sorry. Okay, going to go down the rest of the list really quickly. Plants. We have a list up there. I know we already do on Bark Radio of poisonous plants.
Episode it was,
but yeah, we'll make sure you can access that. Chemicals. Again, antifreeze, paint thinner, drain cleaners, pool chemicals. You know,
that's sort of sideways from that.
Mm-hmm.
Think about if you have a pool in the summer and the dog's swimming in it all the time, make sure to rinse them off because that chlorine's not good for their skin.
No.
And whatever they absorb, I'm not sure how that body handles that.
Yeah, I'm not sure how good that is if they're swallowing it, you know, drinking it. Who knows?
I wouldn't think it would be good, but...
But y'all can let us know.
Yeah. Shoot us an email.
Anybody listening? and then we have, you know, the household cleaners. We've all got them. It's sort of like, think 2-year-old child.
Yeah.
You know, if it's not good for that kid, it's probably not good for your dog. So if you have a dog who's talented at opening things, well, you know, lock your cupboards just like you do for kids.
Yeah.
You know, you don't want them getting those household cleaners and ingesting them. Heavy metals, wow. Think lead.
Mercury, too.
Yep.
Yeah, think about that. If you have a mercury thermometer, if it falls on the floor, don't let the dog get it.
Oh, man.
Broken glass and mercury, that'd be bad.
Bad, bad, bad. Paint chips, lead dust. If you're scraping or sanding a floor or walls or whatever in an old house, just beware. And finally, fertilizer. Yeah, well, that's an obvious one.
Yeah, that
and that's
either.
Just fertilizer exposure.
And they absorb through the pads.
Mm-hmm. So, and it's not the time of year for this, but I think everybody's probably heard by now that there is chocolate mulch. When you start mulching your flower beds and stuff in the spring, do not buy chocolate mulch. What do you think it smells like to your dogs? Yeah. They're going to want to ingest it, and it's really bad for them.
Yeah.
Okay, that's it.
We got it?
That's my list.
That's a wrap.
All right.